Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
This evening, we're going to start off just with a few testimonies from Zimbabwe. Okay, so you can put the pictures up and put them on rotate. There's a few pictures which are going to go through, and that's Kunrad preaching at the Highfields branch. On the first Sunday we were there, some went to Highfields, some went to Borrowdale, and then he ministered there, and then there's a few people from the church. But it was really awesome. We had a great trip. It was fruitful. After ministering in Harare for about a week or so, we went off to Mushumbi, which is a village in the Zambezi Valley area, and 200 members of the church joined us. I don't know if you heard that. 200 members from the church joined us for a camp out in the bush and joined us for outreach. And so people from all of the, I think it's 9 branches, came, and they got on a bus, and so we had a busload of saints, and then we were busy meeting on the Friday night, and then a truckload of saints came. And we were all together worshiping and praising and everything. And on Saturday morning, we did some evangelism training, and everybody went door to door, and we just ministered into the villages there to beef up the church that's already there. This was us doing baptism of the Holy Spirit. Kunrad did a great job in teaching about it. And then we ministered the baptism of the Holy Spirit before people went out onto the streets. And then after that, so there was about 40 people, I think, that got baptized in the Holy Spirit. After that, at the end of the weekend, we had about, we trained them on how to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so it was really a great way of discipleship for us to be able to get everybody together, train them, and then send them out straight away. It was really, really great. Lamech is hoping we won't have to go back to Mushumbi next year. Not because it's not awesome, but because we're trusting that the church there is now been well equipped and can do the work of the ministry and do what they need to do so we can go somewhere else. There's just one picture I'm waiting for because I know you're going to laugh when you see it and then it'll disrupt. But this was in the Borrowdale church, and that was really exciting. I think for me, the highlight, this was kids' church. Let me just say that quickly. It was in the same hall that we met. So we were meeting in the front and they were meeting at the back, and I watched them the whole time. They were quiet. It was amazing. They sat, they learned, and everything. It was awesome. This was in the city branch of the church, which is growing, and that was also very exciting. But one of my highlights was getting to minister to a former minister in government, who his name was Matala, I think, and he was the minister of security or something like that. He was one of the tyrants, Bob's right-hand man. Okay, and I didn't know that until after I ministered to him. Lamech didn't tell me until we were on our way home. And so I got there, we went into his house, and him and his family were very gracious. They made the whole family come and sit in the room. Lamech goes there twice a week and ministers to them, and so it was my opportunity. And we had, what did we have? We had 3 visiting pastors from Bulawayo in the room as well, and so I was ministering to them. I actually, my spirit felt I'm ministering to them more than I am to the family, because you can see the family has been ministered to by Lamech. So I started just ministering on you're forgiven, is unconditional love and grace, and all of that. And I think the picture's next. But there we go. I can't remember the illustration, but there was an illustration that Lamech was using. But so I was just ministering to the family, and I could see that they were blessed and they were receiving. And this guy, Matala, was really just full of peace. And you could see he's received Christ now, he's a born-again Christian, and he's just full of love, and he's gentle, and it was amazing. This guy was rough. He was leading all the violence in Zimbabwe, and he's also, one of his last speeches in government was about how we need to eradicate the Ndebele by putting pesticide on them. Now he's received Christ, and he's a completely new creation, completely different. 2 of his daughters are in Bible school. The whole family's in church. They're receiving ministry continuously. So I was ministering to them. They were receiving. It was awesome. Lamech was there a few weeks beforehand, and they had a gentleman in the Bible study with them, and he just felt led after the Bible study to say to this guy, take off your shirt and your jacket. He had a jacket up to the top here. And so this guy takes off his shirt, and he's got all the Sangoma beads underneath, witch doctor beads. And he just rips them off. Lamech, Pastor Isaac. He rips them off and the beads go scattering, where the lady of the house said it took 2 weeks to clean up the beads. And so he rips this off. He puts his hand on his chest and just starts rebuking the demons and casting them out. The guy gets born again, and the family lost its family witch doctor. And they repented of having that, and now they're all like proper Christians and all of that. So that was really awesome. But anyway, so that's the family. But when I was there, it was really awesome because these three pastors were busy listening to the message, and then eventually they started asking questions because you could see it contradicted what they knew. And the leader of the three of them says, it wasn't the leader. One of the others said, but don't you have to fast to mature spiritually? And Lamech and I laughed, and then we went for it. And we were just like, no, you don't. Fasting makes you hungry. What makes you mature is the Word, is the Holy Spirit, and you need to grow in that. And we just started ministering, got them to read scriptures, and we were engaging. And when they left, the leader of them said, I'm so glad we had this conversation because you've liberated me. Thank you. And Lamech took her phone number and is now going to be ministering to them. And so it was really awesome just to see how the Word works, and it influences people and it changes. The gospel is the answer for any problem. Jesus is the answer. And it's awesome how we've got the answer. So if we take it out, it changes people's lives. If it can change that former minister's life so radically, it can change anyone's life. This was Bob's best friend, Robert Mugabe's best friend, his right-hand man. And he's completely changed now. Isn't that awesome? So each of the team members is just going to take some time to share, so you can come up, Mom. And they're just going to share a little bit about the trip and what they experienced or what they learned. And I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Our purpose for sharing is really just to show you what happens when you go on an outreach or on a mission trip, but also to show you what's happening in our sister church in Zimbabwe and how we're part of that. So, thank you.
Hi. For those that don't know me, my name is Haley. It may have been my third mission trip to Zimbabwe, but every time has been life-changing, because without growth, with growth change comes, which I'm forever grateful. In the first year, I realized that self-centeredness was dealt with. In the second year, we realized that we need to be ready at any time, as Pastor Isaac would call us out. In the third year was different. And I just want to read a scripture with you quickly on Isaiah 54, verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. For you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. That scripture for me, what I get out of these verses is that, Jesus is calling us to go into all the world and reach the nations out there. But even more so, it doesn't matter what our past life has been, I'm forgiven, and that wherever I go, I will not fear. For the Lord has called me. The first week, I was there a week before the team arrived. I was there. I found myself encouraging young people and mostly young ladies regarding relationships. And this set me up for the week ahead. We went to a family, Colleen, with her two sons, Dean and Dexter, which you'll hear about later, I'm sure. As a team, we prayed together for them. The sons had disabilities, and after we prayed, we knew they were healed, and we stood on the word. When I held Dexter's head when we prayed, his eyes would look everywhere. But during the course of that week, when I'd say, Dexter, he looked at me in the eyes and I said, Jesus loves you. And he would laugh. And he said his first words, which was, Mama, Mama. And that's the first time in 3 years. I spent time with Colleen, listening to her story and her heart. God, through me, loved and encouraged her with regards to her relationship with her husband and her family and how to be positive and speak life over her children. By the third day, she was not saying one negative word about her marriage. She had hope for her marriage, where there was no hope. She was looking forward to moving back into her bedroom because for the past 3 years, Dexter had never slept through, and now he was sleeping through. So she can't wait for us to come and visit again. What I encouraged and shared with Colleen was no thoughts of my own. It came from my heart. We had similar circumstances, and I understood how she felt. Whatever came out of me was the Holy Spirit. One does not realize what is inside of one until you are in that situation. And the devil had no longer got rampant in that household. Jesus rules and reigns there. Laughter fills the place. Hope rings eternal. On this trip, I learned that no matter what the devil may distract you with, you keep your heart and mind focused on God and His goodness and the reason why I was there. It doesn't matter if you are divorced, single, or what your past was like. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus. God looks at the heart and He knows your desires. I never thought that I could minister into a marriage because I was single, divorced, and had really messed up in the past. But God doesn't remember that. So why should I? I won't hold back anymore. Our mission begins the minute we wake up and step out the door. There is a world around us silently crying out. Love is what drives me to minister to others. The teller, the kitchen staff, the boss. We have this awesome truth of God's unconditional love and grace to share with others, to minister into their lives. We are never too old or too young to go into all the world as Jesus said we must do. I pray that you will step out, be bold. God is forever with you and do what He has called you and I to do, and that is to go into all the world. I have only begun to go into all the world, and my tent pegs are still being stretched much wider. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Anami. I was chosen as one of the seven people to head out to Zim, which was quite an experience. We went out with one simple message to help spread the gospel, the good news. Getting on the airplane was a bit of a traumatic event for me, since that I've never flown abroad, never been out of South Africa. So when we got on Air Zim, it was a bit of air turbulence. I was praying. I was like, Lord, please don't take me home right now. We just started. Everyone else was sleeping on the plane. I knew there was something wrong with me. But once we arrived in Zim and went through all the security checks, I was like still petrified. I'm sure I looked like a criminal. And then just politely remembered to smile and wave. And then as soon as we were through the security doors, we were welcomed by Lamik and his family. And we were welcomed as family. We embraced as family. And we stayed as family. I'm reminded of scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, I believe it is. It talks about we are many parts but one body. My testimony, my biggest standout moment was that I was willing to be used by God, and that because I put my foot out and stepped out in faith, God rewarded it. The scarf I'm wearing tonight has a bit of a story to it. So we went to Karis Bible College, and we were sort of having lunch, and I was sitting outside with Pastor Lamek's wife, Rebecca. And a lady came walking up to us. Her name is Ruby. And she is about 7 months pregnant. So I was listening to the conversation, and I heard her saying that she felt really ugly. And I was like so overwhelmed at the moment. I'm like, how can you say this about yourself? You're carrying life. You're beautiful. And I was just, I instantly started ministering to her about how God sees her and this is true. And then, of course, I sang at her that I hear that something in the family. So I have a bit of that gene going around. And then sort of walked away. I'm like, Lord, I know that wasn't ministry, but I hope that blessed her. Walked away. We spent the next while being out and about. And by the time we got back to the Bible school, we were busy for the afternoon. And then after the service, well, after the get-together, she comes up to me. She takes off the scarf that she'd been wearing the whole day, and she puts it around my neck. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, no, she wants to give me something. So she puts it around my neck. I'm like, what is this for? She's like, you blessed me, so now I'm blessing you. So I was very, very encouraged by it. So yeah, the whole trip just taught me if I'm willing to be used, then God will use me. If I'm humble and I'm meek, He'll use me. That's it.
I would just like to start by sharing some scripture with you. It's 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4 to 6. It says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And that's one of the scriptures that we started the trip with, and that really encouraged me, and just to know that I'm not relying on myself, but on the Holy Spirit to lead me. And that was one of the biggest highlights for me during the trip, is just being Spirit-led. And I was also sharing my testimony at two different churches, and both times were completely different. And I said a lot of things that I didn't even plan, but afterwards I really heard how people were blessed and encouraged by it. And I would also like to share Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." That also really encouraged me, and it also made me realize that whenever we do God's will, we don't have to rely on ourselves, because he provides all the skills and abilities that we need to carry out his will. And we can always and only expect good things when we do the will of God. And so wherever we went, we were just expecting good things. And one of the things that Lamech also taught me was, wherever you go, when you spread the gospel, you plant seeds everywhere. And yeah, you don't always get to see the harvest, but yeah, it's good to know that you're planting seeds and making a difference. And also when we were doing the evangelism in Mashumbi, the language was quite a problem for me, but it wasn't a problem for God. Whenever I was with a group of ladies and they were speaking in Shona, but I couldn't understand anything that they were talking about. But whenever I just felt something on my heart, I would share it with them and they would translate. And it linked in with what they were speaking about or what they asked. So that was really special to me. And so let's share something else. Oh, I forgot to tell everyone this morning. One thing that also stood out to me was the boldness. Because some of us, we're quite shy in the flesh. But when I was sharing my testimony at Caris Ministries, afterwards one of the ladies came up to me and she asked me if I was a pastor. I'm like, no, I got baptized 2 weeks ago. But she was really encouraged by it, so that was special. And I would also like to share Philippians 4, verse 13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And stuff that I learned on the trip is just, as children of God, we have so much to give and to share just because of who we are in Christ. And it's just effortless to be a blessing to other people, because our cups, it's always overflowing and we have everything in abundance. And if God puts something like this on your heart, you should never look at your own abilities, because God enables us to do his will, and we don't have to fear anything, and he strengthens us and perfects us.
Yeah. Awesome, thank you. May, you can come up so long, and then Andreas, you can come up straight afterwards. Where are you? There you are. You can come up straight afterwards. But I just wanted to share on something Teresa just shared, is that, we started off the training and I told them, everybody's got something to give. If you're saved, you've got a testimony. You've got something to give. And even you sitting there, you might not be a pastor or a leader or been saved for longer than a month, been baptized last week or whatever the case is. But if you know for God to love the world, then you can share that with someone and be a blessing to them. So, we often kind of look up at the front and think it's for the leaders to do that, and, it's not for me. But you've got a testimony, you've got something to give, and you can be a blessing to someone just by sharing what's inside of you. Amen.
Hi, everyone. God's really, really good. Yes. I just want to encourage you guys, if you guys ever feel that you should ever go on a mission trip, go. It changes your life. It changes other people's lives. And, yeah, it's just amazing because what we saw when we were there, and this is only what we can share in the few minutes, but what we saw were, like, eyes opening, people that could walk for the first time, young and old people deciding, Christ is it, I've got to have it. And, yeah, it's just lives that were changed and restored to new. So, also, another factor that is quite incredible that touched my heart is that all of this doesn't just happen on a Sunday. Like, we went out the entire week, and we were just, we woke up and we went out. It's not just like, okay, Sunday, you can get saved. Come to church and we'll do you then. We went to offices. We went to the people. We met them for coffee, and their lives were changed every single day. So I'm going to start with two testimonies. The first one was in Harare, the city. And we shared the knowledge of God's goodness with people. Lives were changed. Every time we got to meet people, Lamech never told us what the problem was. So we'd be like, hi, how can we help you? Or, very often we were led by the Spirit to say, listen, it's going to be okay with your business. And it was what they needed to hear at that moment. And, even with Dexter and Carleen, we never knew that their marriage was falling apart. They just said, pray. And then we were like praying, and God just gave us the words. It's like incredible. They needed that at that stage. God wants marriage to work out. God wants this for you. So he wants the best for you. So when we were the second testimony is when I was on the bus, I managed to chat to someone that I'd never spoken to before. She shared her testimony. It touched my life. It's amazing. She was a Sangoma, and what people had told her, that this is how you're going to live your life. You have got a gifting in this, and there's no ways that you can get away from it, or else you are going to die. That is it. So that you can imagine there's a lot of fear put on a person for their life and how to live their life. Eventually, she got so scared to live her life in normal society. Like, she'd see things that other people wouldn't see. And so she decided, no, I'm going to go live in my little closet and turn on the TV. And thank goodness it was Andrew Womack and Gospel TV. And she needed to know who Jesus was, seeked out Pastor Isaac and got saved, and all of this stopped. All the craziness, the fear, the condemnation she put on herself stopped right there, and she could live a new life. Her life changed. It was amazing. And it's just completely, missions are completely not what you expect. Like, I'd always dreamed of going and changing people's lives and things like this. For the first time when we went to evangelize in Mushumbi, we ran onto a soccer field, and all these kids came and they sat and they listened to what we needed to say. And all of them, a few of them were saved, a few of them convinced the others that this will change your life. This is what you need. And I think that's an important message for kids, because it helps with the struggles with life. It starts from a young age, and they're unstoppable once they know the truth. So, yeah, that's just an encouragement. Otherwise, yeah, we've always, yeah, it's just amazing, guys. You should go if you ever have the calling. Thanks.
Thanks, May. Good. That's really awesome. Thanks, May. The girl that she's talking about who she chatted to on the bus, shared her testimony at the training camp as well. And this is someone who sacrificed two members of her family. You know, that type of Sangoma, not just throwing around bones and stuff, but actually murdering. You know, and her life has radically changed. She's full out involved in the church, reaching people, completely born again, and just going for it. And just amazing to see how the gospel can change someone. So it's awesome. Thank you, Andrea.
Cool. Hi, everyone. I'm just going to expand on the story when we visited the household. The mother and her two children. So the mother had marriage problems, and the two children were both diagnosed with autism. And the one was almost 3 years old, and the other one 12 years old. So from the get-go, as we arrived, we felt there was quite a negative and a heavy vibe. So, and we thought that all the disturbances in this household must be demonic. So we chased it away, and we declared healing over the two boys and restoration for the marriage. And so at that moment, even though the physical symptoms remained at that instance, we knew that at the root the disease was dealt with. And this I learned from Mark 11. So here, Jesus and his disciples, they're traveling to Jerusalem, and Jesus became hungry, and he saw a fig tree from a distance, and he saw that it had leaves, and he assumed obviously it has fruit as well, because they normally go together. And as he came closer, he saw that it doesn't have any fruit. So he commanded that no one shall ever eat fruit from this tree again. And so they went to Jerusalem, and the next day they came back, and on their way back, they saw again the fig tree, and one of the disciples said, "Look, the tree has dried up from the roots." So the problem was dealt at the root, and then it died from there. And that was the same year. This we could see every day, there was just a very big improvement. So on the second day when we arrived, we could see that the younger son, Dean, he used to be very hyperactive, so already he was a lot more calm and manageable. And me and Kunya and I, we ministered to the older son, Dean, and we just started off by sharing on God's love for him, his unconditional love. And he was already a Christian, so we just told him that he's always righteous and holy, and he's an accepted child of God. He's righteous. And then the next strange thing happened. On the third day, Dean's mother told us that Dean folded all his clothes up and packed it in the closet. He washed the dishes, packed that away too, and he's never done that before. And so she was just like, "Whoa." And then we just continued to tell him more about God's unconditional love. And as we explained on that, we saw that the nanny was also listening from a distance. And so we asked her if she can come join us. And so then we actually shared on the story of the parable of the lost son, as in Luke 15, and they really enjoyed that. And we told them that God only wants good things for them. And also as it says in James 1:17. And we also told them the benefits of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we asked if they wanted to have that, and they said, "Yeah, cool, let's have it." So we laid hands on them, and we prayed with them, and they also started speaking in tongues. And we told them they should practice it, and they should remind themselves of their true identity in Christ. And we also gave them the I Am books that's over there as well, to help them in that they can follow the daily devotional. And so on the fourth day, the mom told us she was just in awe. Her son, which is almost the younger son, which is almost 3 years old, he never said a word before. He never spoke. And then he said his first words ever, "Mama, mama." And you could just see her face lit up. It was really cool. And also the D 15, the younger son, he couldn't sleep through in night. So, now suddenly he slept right through as well. And the older son, Dean, he didn't like social situations. So he would isolate himself in his room. And that also changed. So when children were playing outside in the playground, he actually also joined them and socialized together. And that was really cool. And, so just in general, you could see Dean was speaking a lot more easily. And he had a cheerful nature. And, we just believe that Dean and Dexter, they'll continue to improve in their health and that they'll grow in their identity. And then also something I just want to share on the same thing that Shane also mentioned is something that I learned that's really important is that we all have something to give. Even if you don't feel that spiritually mature yet, you have something to give. So even if it's just like a word of encouragement or your testimony on how you got saved or how your life with and your relationship with God has improved, that's awesome. And for example, I did that in Zimbabwe at two church services, and I thought my testimony is really like very straightforward and there's nothing to it. It's very simple. And afterwards, people approached me and they were like, yo, thank you for that. That was really, I needed to hear that. And so that's cool because you don't know where someone is in their life at that stage. So maybe your thing that you mentioned was specific for them. And, yeah. Cool. Thanks.
Yo. Good evening, everyone. So, I must say it was really awesome. I think the biggest thing that stood out for me on this whole trip was to realize that my pastor is actually normal. But it really is amazing in the sense of I could really see like how God worked through each and every one of us, you know, like how he used us and so on. And that verse is so true, which is that our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it's of God. And just stepping out into like in faith, stepping out and reaching out to people and knowing that the Holy Spirit will, in that moment, he will bring words to your remembrance and he will show you also stuff. So it was really cool. And but also we went out from the beginning. We were prepared by Shane as well, also to the way we need to see ourselves and stuff. But also that you know God is making us able ministers of the New Testament, and it's not ourselves going out. That was really amazing in the sense that so you'd go out and know that we are sons of God. We have been justified. It's not not us that justifies ourselves, but it's God that justified us. So we can go out in that freedom and just go and tell people, look. This is the God we serve. You know, he justifies you. So it was really amazing. But what was awesome was that while we were in Mushumbi as well, we were given like a set of questions in a sense to go reach the people and to be able to connect with them and to tell them about God and so on. So you just ask them a question like, hey, do you know God loves you or Jesus loves you? And they'll respond and you can minister back on them with that, with scriptures and stuff. So what was cool about that is like when I got home, because I've already thought about people I'm going to try this on. But I first went to Pongola. And I was in this home, went with my mom to this home, and they were like playing Christian music and so on. It was awesome. But I don't know, like the way I was listening to the conversation, I could pick up like this person isn't really born again. They think they're a Christian because of all the stuff they're doing. So I did the questions, used the questions, but just to create an opportunity. I just ask a question and it opened up an opportunity for me to start ministering. It was really cool because it was like backwards and forwards of questions, and they realized, oh, they want to be born again as well or receive Jesus. And that was quite awesome. So I got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and so on. So it was really amazing. And just to see that even though we are home, you know, you can reach the people around you. You can just start talking to them, being relational. You don't have to, go for it all at once. You can each week as you're talking to everyone and so on. You can minister to them as you are talking by your lifestyle, by the way you live and so on. So it was really awesome. Cool.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.